Okay, we're back in the book of Joshua today. And I asked that this morning, and didn't get much of a reaction out of people. Does anybody like history? Yeah, you know, the book of Joshua, you know, is a book of history. You know, and I like history, especially biblical history, to know how we got to where we are. But, you know, also, you know, history, you know, of the United States, how we got, you know, how we got to, you know, where we are. You know, and you, the old saying, to know history, you know, to know that history doesn't repeat itself. You know, there's some great times in the book of Joshua. Some you might just want to skip over, you know, if you're reading it. You know, it's really good reading. But, you know, that's times when they're dividing all the land and getting in all the details and everything. You know, but, you know, if you're going to read everything, you know, it's God giving us a history. A history of your ancestors, you know, not people you would find on your family tree, but your ancestors nonetheless, your ancestors in faith, you know, the people whose shoulders, you know, you stand on, you know, God giving us in his word, you know, the Bible, you know, basic instructions before leaving earth, you know, to read and, you know, and to know God giving us history of our ancestors in real place, in real space, you know, in real time. You know, and I know, like I said, there's parts you might want to skip over, you know, but if it was a history of your family, you know, your family tree, would you skip over anything? You know, would you want to know every detail? You know, you would want to know every little minor detail. You know, well, there's nothing that's, you know, there's things we skip over sometimes, but there's nothing in God's word, there's nothing in the Bible that is not worth reading. You know, everything there, you know, is built, you know, it's for us. Today we will cross the Jordan River with the people of God. We're in chapter 3 today. I know I started in chapter 1 last week, you know, so yeah, you would think, okay, chapter 2 next. For some reason I was led to chapter 3, you know, I skipped. You know, I tell you, don't skip over. You know, I'll come back to chapter 2. But we're, you know, we're entering the promised land today. You know, Joshua 1, kind of recapping, Moses is dead. Joshua is taking his place as leader of the people. From Joshua 1, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions for within 3 days. You are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that your Lord God is giving you to possess. You know, 3 days, okay, you got 3 days, you're moving. You know, can any of you imagine everything you have, somebody coming up to, okay, 3 days, you got to be out of here. Everything packed, everything bundled up, wagons packed, horses, mules, whatever it is, hitched. 3 days, you're out of here. And you know, when you leave, God is leading you into the fullness of the promise that he has promised. You know, and one more time, you know, to go into the land that God has given you to possess it. You know, it's from last week. There's a difference in a profession of faith and possession of faith. You know, it's good. No good where you're sitting at just to say, Lord God, I'm giving myself to you this day. Yeah, that's good. It's good to walk down the aisle, make a public profession. I'm giving myself to you, Father, this day. You know, to come, you know, profession of faith is good. You have to have that at some point in your life. God, here I am. I'm yours. But so many people, they get to that point and they never cross the river. They don't go any further. You know, they stop. They stop altogether. They still come to church. But they never open their Bible. They never go to God in prayer. You know, just 1 hour a Sunday, 1 hour a week is all they give to God. You know, and that's not really possessing what God has given us. You know, he's given us so much. He's given us his son, Jesus Christ, to possess what God has given us. You know, and if you just stop, if you slow down, God is saying to us today and all the time, it's time to cross the river and possess what God has given us. For 40 years, the people of Israel wandered in circles around and around, out in the wilderness. And that whole time, that 40 years, the land was just sitting there waiting for them to cross the river and come in and claim it. You know, is it possible for some people to stand before God that when that time comes and just, you know, how did I get here? I just feel like I missed something. There's something I missed. Joshua 3. Now I'm going to set you up for this before, you know, I'm going to read all of chapter 3. It is only a page and a half, so it's not that much. But it's good, people. So hold on to your seats, okay? Joshua 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the rivers of the Jordan, you shall stand and still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the word of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, and each tribe a man. And when the soles of their feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. The word of God for the people of God. Now, to give you a little more history from the book of Numbers, we get, you know, you might think, well, you know, all, you know, this may be what, 2,000 or 3,000 people maybe, you know, 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000, you know, how many people crossing? From the book of Numbers, we get there was a census taken right before this happened. Warriors, fighting men, 601,730. Almost 601,730 fighting men. That does not include men that were not fighting. Maybe for some reason, you know, they were not considered warriors. But that does not include their families, women and children. Supposedly, that day, about 3 million people, 3 million people crossing over the Jordan. And if you look at the text, they went throughout the camp. Get ready. Get ready. In 3 days, we will be crossing. 3 days. Does that tickle your ears? Where do we know 3 days from? Joshua leading the people into the promised land. A foreshadowing of what? Of 3 days, Jesus Christ leading us into the promised land after walking out of the tomb. In 3 days, Joshua means Jehovah saves, Jehovah is salvation. From Joshua, we get the word Yeshua. And then in the New Testament, we have Jesus. We crossed the Jordan River on the third day. The third day, Jesus Christ walked out of the tomb, conquering hell, death, sin, evil, hate, conquering everything there is. And on the third day, we crossed the Jordan River into the promised land, the land that God has already conquered. Joshua telling us God has already done each and every one of these things, that God has already provided the victory for each and every one of us, for you, for me, for us. We're going into the promised land on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. We're going into a land, into everything. We're going into tomorrow because God has already conquered all there is for each and every one of us. No matter what we come up against, that God is with you. God is with you, but you have to cross the Jordan River to get there, knowing God has already conquered it. We don't have to know the way, but you do need to know the way maker. You do need to know the one that is the way. Verse 3 tells us the Ark of the Covenant commanded, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. The Ark of the Covenant at that time, a chest, a box covered in gold. The priest carried it on rings because nobody poles through the rings. Nobody could touch it. And you'll see further on in Scripture where somebody touches it, they die. Because that is the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the presence of God on earth at that time. The box covered in gold, the representation of God. Because as soon as you see the ark, God being carried by the priest, set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you. Follow it, because in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Again, God telling us, you don't need to know the way. You don't need to know where God is taking you. But you do need to know the way. The way maker. Jesus Christ, the glory of God, the presence of God, the righteousness of God come to earth. God is saying, look for him. Look for God's way. Look for God's plan. Look for the way, Jesus Christ. That when God calls you, you don't know where God will take you. You just have to believe and trust. And what is that call? Faith. Faith that, do you have enough faith to cross the river? Do you have enough faith today? Say, here I am, God, send me. Not knowing where he's going to send you. Scripture says, because you've never been this way before, and some of us do not like going into unfamiliar territory. I love going someplace I've never been before, especially mountains. You know, I don't like going into towns or cities I've never been before, because you never, you know, in the town, you never know what's around the other corner. You know, but some people, they don't like going. What is it? You know, go to some place that no one's ever been before. But the thing is, people have been there before. What we're reading in Joshua, that is our ancestors. That is your family. They're there. People have gone to places we've never been before. You know, we're standing on their shoulders. So somebody has done that. They've given themselves to God, had faith in God, trust in God, and God has led them where he wanted to send them. And the Bible tells us that these people had that faith to cross the river that day. And God tells us, just as he was with Moses and he was with Joshua, he will be with each and every one of you if you just give yourself to him. And Joshua said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Some translations say sanctify yourselves. Some say consecrate. This means to set yourself apart. Apart from what? Apart from the world. To follow God. We live in a fallen world, people. And more each day, this world keeps falling. Now, the church, if it wasn't for the church, we don't know where we would be. You know, the church is in a battle for itself. And the church is maintaining. The church is doing good. But on the other side of the world, other side of the world in Africa right now, today, there are people burning towns, whole towns, villages, Christians, just for declaring themselves being followers of God. People are trying to stamp out followers of God, and I see it more and more. People in hating God, hating followers of God. One of the definitions in original writing is to purify yourself before you do anything. Now, God takes us just as we are. We come to God dirt, smut, whatever. God takes us as we are, but God promises to never leave you the same. You cross the river, you purify yourself, knowing God is going to lead you and use you. But sometimes we want to know first. I want to know where you're taking me, God. But God says, no, it doesn't work that way. You purify yourself, you consecrate yourself, you set yourself apart from the world first. TNT, today, not tomorrow. Purify yourself, set yourself apart, consecrate yourself apart from the world today for God to use you tomorrow. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as their feet touched the water parted and the priest stood on dry ground. All Israel passed by on dry ground. Maybe 3 million people. The river was there overflowing. And they did on dry ground. Where else? God parted the Red Sea. And they passed through on what? On dry ground. God working. Every single person passing by the holiness of God. The holiness, the righteousness of God. You know, I read somewhere not long ago that Generation Z, that's the 14 to 29-year-olds, you know, have shown that, you know, a trend of giving up alcohol. Now, just to tell you how news goes, they tell you that good part, the giving up alcohol. But it does not tell you, instead of alcohol, they've turned to the resurgence of marijuana use and other drugs. Yeah, they're giving up alcohol, good. But they've turned to something else. But they said that generation also prefers a traditional worship setting without all the bells and whistles. As far as I know, maybe with the exception of the Catholic Church, we're the only church in town that still sticks to traditional worship without all the screens, the bells and whistles, and everything else. Worship, to me, worship as God intended. to get such a view of God as Joshua did in the tent of meeting, that when Moses left, Joshua could not leave. He found himself in the presence of God, and he just could not leave. Every man, every woman, every child passing by, the holiness, the presence, the righteousness, the glory of God that day, that feeling to pass by it on dry ground, what they got passing by. Did they just want to stop and sit down on dry ground and stay? Have you ever got to that spot? That time? You're sitting there with God and you don't want to get up. But then your alarm goes off. Hey, you got to get up. The ark would eventually end up in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. But only one man, one person, could only go in one day a year. The ark in the Holy of Holies, that on one day, the veil that separates the ark from everybody else is torn from top to bottom. What day did that happen? The day Christ died on the cross. The veil is torn from top to bottom. We have access to God anytime we want. But that day, the Holy of Holies, in the middle of the Jordan River, and God telling us, come cross that river to set yourself apart today, not tomorrow. Cross over into the promised land and possess the promises that God has given you. And like I said, God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and now he's parting the water again. Both times, what Christ is doing for us, parting the waters, making us a way for each and every one of us to get to God. And when it comes in Scripture, when it says the water piled up very far at the city of Adam, a city named Adam, the first man, telling us it's not what man can do, but what God can do, what God does. Parts the waters for each and every one of us. Jesus Christ making a way for us to come to God. And like I said, a lot of times it's, God, this is what I want, now make a way. And God's saying no. You give yourself to me wholly, fully, freely, and I send you where I need you. For us to understand what God wants is to lead us into the promised land. But we have to belong to God first. We have to go in and claim and possess the land and bring glory to God Almighty. And then as someone that belongs to God, to take possession of God's promises. The possession belongs to you, but you belong to God. God leading us into Christ's triumphal procession as we cross the river. The water rolled all the way back to Adam, and we pass by the holiness of God into the promise of God, stepping into what God has already conquered tomorrow, right now, today. We're living in Christ's conquered victory. We're moving in his authority, the one seated at the right hand of God, the one that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As Paul put it, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Right now, today, we're in a kingdom Jesus story. And yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are setbacks. And yes, there are deaths. There's darkness. But in each and every story, God, Jesus Christ, shines his light. Following God does not change our circumstances, but it changes how we see our circumstances. You may be in a hard thing right now if a hard thing comes upon you. You belong to Christ, and he will shine his light into your darkness. Go back to chapter 1. People answered Joshua, all that you have commanded, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Have you told God that? All that you command, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. I don't know if I've ever told y'all this story. I think part of it. You know, I was about 12 years old when God called me. I think he did. And I spent the rest of my life saying, oh gosh, you picked the wrong person. No, not me. You know, I went through life, you know, and the whole way, it's like God followed me around. Hey, remember me? Hey, you're not supposed to be doing that. Hey, remember me? We were in church one Sunday, Amanda and I. We're walking to our truck, and Amanda asked me, Aaron, what happened in there? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, and I never told Amanda that story. I said, Aaron, something happened in there. What was it? There in that parking lot that day, I told her that story. And she said, God's calling you, huh? I said, yeah, but darling, I don't want to go. I said, look at me. I'm with the police department. I'm having a good time. I enjoy what I'm doing. I mean, I said, I ain't 25 years old anymore, darling. Are you kidding? I said, but he's calling, huh? I said, yeah. He says, you need to go back in and talk to the preacher. I said, yeah. And that preacher, all of y'all know him. His name's Darrell Tate. I went in. He was in his office. Hey, can I come in? He said, yeah, come on in. I went and said, told him that story. He looked at me and he laughed. I said, what are you laughing about? So I was wondering how long it was going to take you. He said, I already knew it. But he said, Aaron, you realize you don't know where God's going to send you. I said, yeah, I know. But he said, he ain't going to send me nowhere real quick because I'm still with the police department. I ain't retired yet. So I got a ways to go from there. But he said, yeah. When you say yes, he sends you where he needs you. Have you said that? Have you said, God, here I am, wholly, freely. Send me wherever you go, God. Cross the river and possess the promises that God has for you and for your life today, not tomorrow. Let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, Lord God, I give you thanks for this day. Father, I give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to us wholly, freely, not holding anything back. Lord God, can we do that today, each and every one of us, where we're sitting right now, say to you, here I am, Father, send me wholly, freely, wherever you need me. In your name, Lord God, we pray and ask. Amen.